All right, Gary, what are we doing this week?
Well, Cole, I think I've talked about my gaming group a lot.
You have,
Right,
yeah,
so,
and I've met all of them, I think.
you have. And my friend Courtney, the gaming group, National Treasure, certified Stumptown Dumplin. She has a running joke of having characters that are musicians that have names that are of songs that are based on like Train of Fools or Chain of Fools rather.
Okay.
So like we were playing Call of Cthulhu once and all these zombies there and she started talking like she's like my character writes a song Train of Ghouls and I was like great. She does stuff like that. It's very funny.
Okay.
But got me thinking about Chain of Ghouls. It got me thinking about chains. It got me thinking about Dana Gould. So I put on my Gex original soundtrack and I got this chain here and I wrote a name of a game on every link of the chain and then I'm gonna put it on this anchor. I'm gonna throw it in the water. We're on a boat. And you tell me when to stop, and whatever chain it link it's on, that'll be the game we do.
You're wearing your anchor gloves, right? Because otherwise your skin's gonna come off.
I am wearing my anchor gloves that I got because of our patrons at patreon.com/duckfeedtv.
Ooh, fancy. You
Yeah.
went for the
And
chain ones.
I did. I went chain strength.
Yeah.
And don't worry about waking up on a boat.
Okay.
Not the first time, won't be the last.
All right.
For you, my
Well,
son.
no, that yeah, for sure. Yeah, give that bad boy a toss. Let's go.
Okay, let's I'll let you do the honors. I've got to grip it.
Oh, okay, cool.
For when you
All right,
rip
hold
it.
on.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. All right, lift with the back, and
Okay.
then wrench and twist, and up we go. Up. Kerplunk.
Okay.
Okay, well.
I'm slowing it down.
Well,
These gloves are these hurt,
you're gonna have
but
to wait until I find the audio file that will be a chain
the chain unraveling.
rapidly unraveling
Oh, that definitely is
free sound.
that you can find that. It won't be a Freesound. It'll probably be a YouTube thing. Okay,
Okay,
let me
stop.
grip.
Sorry.
Okay.
Okay.
And can you look down there?
Well, let me
Not
grab.
Chain of Memories. That would have been if I would have stopped just a second earlier. It would have been Kingdom Hearts Chain of Memories.
Yeah, the game we talked about a little bit. No, it says, Spawn the Eternal?
Spawn the yeah, because these are all chain games.
Oh.
Because that's the sound of your host working on the chain games. Bunch of ideas for that all kind of came out.
Okay. Yes, decided to put it in a roulette kind of thing.
Yeah, we can no longer do any games with chains because we've used all of the things.
Yeah.
So
No,
fuck off, Chain of Memories.
no more chains, just ropes.
Arrivederci.
Let's go back to hell.
358 divided by 2 days. See you in hell. Birth by sleep.
Yeah. You ever work at a restaurant where you had to use one of those chain link mitts to cut up vegetables?
I've only worked at one restaurant. And it was Taco Bell, and
Oh yeah,
the
which
vegetables came pre-cut and crude pre-cut,
and pre-partially digested. Yeah.
yeah, and this kind of in some kind of veggie-sack kind of thing.
Yep. Meant to be put into a machine to be squeezed out. No, when I worked at a Ruby Tuesday as the salad bar attendant, whenever I cut up vegetables, I had to wear this awesome chainmail gauntlet to make sure I wouldn't slice my hand off because I never had any knife training.
You and I have talked a lot about the Ruby Tuesday salad bar, and I didn't know you worked at one.
Oh yeah.
Like we went to that Ruby Tuesday and had the salad bar, and you didn't mention that you used to work at one?
Right.
Keeping secrets from me?
No, it was for one summer.
Yeah.
It was
I didn't What's the name of this podcast? Salad Secrets? I didn't know that was gonna
No.
be a thing.
It was a terrible job. I hated it because I also had to be the afternoon dishwasher, which I did not sign up for and was not mentioned in the interview.
You
Brent.
told me I'd be doing salad.
Like I can refill a cooled bowl with lettuce.
Yeah.
I saw you, Brenda. I saw you grab that crouton.
With your hand.
Ugh.
Yeah.
Use the tongs, okay?
I would like to have a Ruby Tuesday salad bar like in place of a Murphy bed in my apartment.
A Murphy bar?
a murky bar. You pull down the salad bar.
Yeah.
And it just like it's kept fresh by like an army of smaller coals in the wall or something.
Your house coals. Yeah, the house coals. They climb out of the vents like little sisters.
Oh, 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 oh. More potato salad, Mr. Butterfield.
Back in the vent.
I'm on break.
It's a living.
Yeah, yeah. Tip the cabbie hat, and then we're,
yeah.
Yeah, no, I
wear hats now that I'm small. I'm Cole Ross.
It's how we tell each other apart.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, no, I'm pretty sure I told you I worked at a Ruby Tuesday salad bar.
I don't think so. Yeah. But before we totally get off of wall coal, the idea of there being wall coals, but then there's one wall Chris that's like a little bit bigger and angrier, and like I'm actually kind of scared of. Like,
look at the you never know when you pull the steam whistle which one's gonna come out to bring you more groots.
Like sometimes it's wall Chris and it's just like, oh excuse me sir, I'm sorry.
Sorry. No.
Like, oh okay sir.
Oh, he's also nonverbal.
Yeah, he's kind of bestial and scary in this version. Yep. He's gone feral. He's lost his sight like a kingfish.
Yep.
For being in the wall too often.
Yeah. Oh, he's institutionalized. Wall Chris didn't stand a chance. Wall Chris was here.
Here's the thing is that when you get born into a wall, they put you into certain tracks. And you get stuck on that one track and it's just like, yeah. You know, no college for you, Wall Chris.
Yeah. Waiting for a wall Superman.
Yeah, good wall hunting. Yes. And I come out and I see my chalkboard and the equation solved. And this wall Chris thing next to me just wrote big letters.
How do you like that apple salad?
How do you like that Applebee's alternative?
Ooh.
This is Gary Butterfield.
This is Cole Ross, noted salad bar appreciator.
Salad bar boy. And I like salad bars too. Yeah. I just said I want one instead of a bed.
Yeah.
This is
well, you want a bed of lettuce.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. This is After Suffering the Show where we play bad games so you don't have to.
Yeah.
And this is a patented pick. Yours truly.
This is
knew it was a salad bar discussion. So. Oh,
of course, yeah, everybody foresaw that. Yeah, we're this is where we talk about Spawn the Eternal. Mm-hmm. Gary, this was a popular one. This was suggested by four other people.
Wow.
So, yeah.
Welcome, my brothers.
So, Chuckle Master, Bazanson, Olson, and Sam.
Hey guys.
Yeah.
Welcome to Spawn the Eternal.
You're in good company with the master of chuckles.
Yeah, that's like the Mel Bolger from Spawn.
Hey, Gary, you know that this episode is going to be 95% you explaining Spawn to me.
It's not though, because I don't know that much Spawn.
Okay,
I just knew the game and I watched the cartoon.
Okay,
when I was young, but I just think that Spawn is interesting. I just think he's kind of neat.
I just think he's a good character. I think that Todd McFarlane has a good head on his shoulders.
Yeah, he's gonna go places.
Yeah, I came in for the lovingly crafted figures of NBA stars.
No, he stayed for that. Yeah, character who's stitching his own guts open.
Yeah,
like yeah,
yeah. I stayed for one of the like handful of kind of mainstream black superheroes.
It's true. They did it. I feel it felt like a negotiation though, because it's like you can have a black superhero, but he's a demon.
Yeah,
like he has to be a literal monster.
Yeah, and also he has to be kind of ugly and in a world full of just ugly shit that nobody ever wants to look at, or hear about, or read about.
He has to be a burn victim, so you can't see that he's a black guy.
Right. Right. Yeah, so a spawn is a man who died, and he's angry about that, and by some luck he found a magic cloak that would bring him back to the surface, and he wants to strangle John Voight.
He does want to kill John Voight. Yes, before he can give birth to Angelina Jolie while she's still swimming around in his nutsack.
Right.
He wants to kill John Voight, and he goes and he kind of like fights crime and stuff. I only know a little bit about Spawn. I didn't set this up to infuriate Spawn fans, because like they exist. It's weird. But I've always like, I think this is very indicative of a really shitty kind of comic book, you know, trend, like the 90s image thing. And the thing I really want to talk about is after I was, when I was looking for things to do, I remember, because I played this when it came out. I found a long time ago, I don't know if I ever talked about this. I found in a parking lot a CD sleeve, a CD binder.
Okay.
Full of PS1 and Dreamcast games.
Oh, Gary, this is like the beginning of a mob movie. You found a bag full of money.
It was at the time, it was meaningful too.
Well,
it was like, it was like, whoa, PS1 games, you know? And this was in it. And I played all of them. Like, a bunch of them were really shitty, but it's how I got like copies of, it's like why I played Crash Bandicoot 1.
Right, right.
Like, I would like it, or like why I have like, it's how I played Tomb Raider 2, which I enjoyed. Like, but it had like Tomb Raider 1 through 3. It had like, you know, some very commercial games, but it also had Spawn the Eternal in it. And that's how I played this. And I remember thinking it really sucked. And this was back when I was like, I would just give games a shot,
mm-hmm.
you know, didn't matter how bad they were.
Especially if you found them for free and somebody was good, was going to get them back by putting a hit out on you.
Yeah. A Spawn-esque hit. And then I would die and come back as like a fatter Spawn. there's Spawn and then there's Spum.
Oh no. I would totally not put it past them to introduce a new character named Spum.
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 Because there's that Mel Bolger character, who's Frank Welker, who is the big fat evil clown that Spawn pals around.
Oh yeah, the one who the one thing that I remember, I forget. So I've only ever seen two parts of this movie, I think. The one that you showed me earlier today.
We gotta talk
like
about that.
Oh, for sure. And then one scene where where Mal Bolger farts and then rips his underwear out and says, "Ooh, skid marks." And then, like, that's it.
Yeah.
Frank Welker, how the mighty have fallen.
I know. I just like the clip I sent you was from the movie, the 1997 Spawn live action movie.
That this game was kind of timed intended to be around.
Yes. And then this movie came out way later. It was in development. They repurposed it to be like because of the success of Tomb Raider.
Right.
Be a like third person kind of maze game. I think the roots of it are in the fighting game engine.
Yes.
Which is what it is. It's kind of like Jax, that Mortal Kombat stories game.
Oh yeah, where they made it more like a Metal Gear.
Yeah. Or not like that. I'm sorry, more like Sub-Zero. More like Sub-Zero Mythologies, where it's you walk around and it becomes a fighting game.
Yes.
So the scene though, our boy Spawn. Yeah, he dives into this dinner party where John Voight is talking to presumably Angelina Jolie's mom.
And I'm sorry, Gary, it's Martin Sheen.
Oh, okay. Presumably Angelina Jolie's dad.
Real father, yes.
Yeah, real father.
He jumps down in what is this gigantic and flowing CGI robe that is completely immaterial and just phases through people.
Is that on purpose or is that a mistake? Because it looks like a mistake.
It looks like a lot of stuff looks like a mistake in this.
It's entirely a mistake.
It goes back and forth between being kind of like ambitious CGI for the time and being really junky looking.
And the dialogue, like Spawn is a character in this.
Oh, he really is.
So incredible. Like he's going to kill the person who betrayed him. The person who betrayed him summons his like hitman lady who has like this gun backpack.
Yeah, she's carrying like two RCP-90s from GoldenEye.
Yeah, that's exactly what it is too. Like, eventually, you know, they're getting ready. Like, he shoots her, she shoots him, etc. She gets ready to kick him in the nuts. Spawn has
an animate belt buckle,
an animate belt buckle that bites a foot that kicks him in the nuts.
Yeah,
it is. I sent this to my friend Ryan. And he said 9 out of 10 would cod piece chomp again. And like Spawn's cod chomp is incredible.
It's pretty great. Well, it happens kind of out of the center of the frame, and it comes a little bit out of nowhere. In my head, I thought that his penis turned into a xenomorph head and just started like chomping down.
That's what it really looks like. And he's like, nice. The actor is very funny.
The quip game is on point. Yeah, this actor is pretty good. I need to see what else he was in. But she says, like, isn't it a little late for Halloween? And then he gets ready to kick her off a balcony, and it's one of the best lines I've actually heard in a superhero movie. He says, "Where you're going, it's Halloween all the time."
Yeah,
referring to hell. I love that. That's like a good sales pitch for hell.
Yeah.
Eternal Halloween.
Yeah. It's like how in space it's always nighttime.
Yeah.
You know? His whole, like, his quips and his whole just, like, I'm kind of watching. I'm trying to find what he said when he does the cod chomp. Because he says, like, a lot of nice and, like, booyah and stuff like that. Like, his, it doesn't, I don't think he actually says booyah.
Yeah.
But he says a lot of things like that are very, very funny.
Yeah, I'm trying to find out how to turn subtitles on so I can give you a play-by-play, but no dice.
Yeah, it's a very good, it's very good.
Yeah.
Annotations are on. I wish somebody had annotated this.
Well, there's also, very early on in this, quite an obvious cut as he's taking John Voight. He's got him by the neck, and then he throws him, and it cuts automatically to an obvious stunt person.
Yeah.
Like it's a jump cut. Like it's in the same arc of motion and they try and match it as best they can. But yeah. The person he's throwing, his hair just instantly gets much darker.
You can tell that it's a fake version because you subject him to the John Voight comp test. And that's how you can tell. Spawn's power is like he's a lot like Spider-Man. Except everything is just chains that come out of his body with little hands on them.
Yeah.
Like from codpiece, from his shoulders, from anything. That's his kind of his whole steez.
Yeah. And when he starts doing his little wall crawling, instead his hands turn into these eldritch abomination like tentacles.
They turn to Zerg claws.
Yeah.
He's really Zerg-like.
Yeah, he's got like tentacle suckers and stuff to it.
Yeah.
In a few ways, it's kind of surprising that this came out in 1997 because of the extensive use of CGI. I'm sure it didn't look as embarrassing back then, you know. But then again, I never heard anything good about this movie in its time either.
No, it wasn't. It's not meant to be very good. There's like a kind of an animated version of this that was well thought of that I watched, and I remember thinking it was fine.
Yeah.
It makes me really wish this was a direct adaptation so we could do it for Adaptation Decay.
Oh, yeah.
Because watching this clip, I was just like, this owns.
This was a very compelling case for watching this movie.
Yeah. This is, John Leguizamo plays like the vivisector or something like that.
The violator.
The violator. Like, there's like an old guy who is like a Van Helsing character. Who like hunt Spawn?
Oh, nice!
And stuff like everything about this, like the extended Spawniverse, like seems very appealing to me for some reason, like in its stupidity.
But only in film, like only in the campiest possible version of it.
Oh, I would never read a Spawn comic. Are you out of your mind? Not a million years.
The actor who played Spawn, Michael J. White. He was in the Toxic Avenger Part 2, but his big break in where he's done most of his work since the mid-2000s is as kind of part of Tyler Perry's extended crew of regulars. Mm. So, like, I'm sure he's perfectly funny and charming in those, but those are movies that are just, like, I never see or are never marketed to me, so I'm not aware of them, you know?
Yeah, I'm not. They're not for me.
Right.
I think it is... Generally said, here this clip, Spawn versus evil violator clown. Like, into that. I don't know, man. There's just something about the cinematic Spawn that does it for me. The game itself is pretty excruciatingly bad.
Oh my god, it just lays flat. There's nothing to this.
Yeah. Could you figure out how to heal?
No.
If you could heal, I feel like you could actually kind of do it. It wouldn't be good or anything. But it's like I could have made more progress.
Yeah, like the only time I ever noticed a health bar bump was when I walked over one of like the necrospheres or something like that.
God, necroplasmic orb.
There we go.
And pyromatic sphere. Like you step over these things and they give you the name of the power up. I couldn't figure out how to use the power up.
No.
So I love that it just seemed like it was just telling me like in general, like just as a complete sentence, necroplasmic sphere. Period.
Where's the verb in this sentence?
Necro. I don't know. And then I looked on Wikipedia and there's a Wikipedia entry for necroplasm.
Oh, fun.
Which a will controlled substance featured in the Spawniverse.
Cool.
Etymology. The prefix necro means dead. It has an origin. The word plasm describes material forming cells or tissue. Thus, necroplasm probably means dead cells or formed of dead tissue.
Thanks. Thanks, genius.com.
Yeah, word is a play on ectoplasm. Oh, thank you.
Yeah.
I love it when you see something like that, though, that has a link in Wikipedia.
Yeah.
Like, Man,
that happens a lot related to anything due to like extended pop culture universes. Like there are probably far too many like links for particular things in the Dark Tower universe on Wikipedia, specifically because it's related to Stephen King stuff. And it's like the Red probably doesn't need its whole page here. Like, let's save that for the Wikia. You know, that's fine.
I think so.
I'm a big enough fan of this that I'm confident saying that we can do without that.
Speaking of the Wikia. If you look on the Spawn Wikia, there's a character named Overt Kill. Do you know about Overt Kill?
Oh, the world's least subtle spy.
Yeah. Overt Kill. Overt Kill is a cyborg. Makes his first appearance in Spawn issue 6, hired by Tony Twist to kill Spawn. Overt Kill is pretty special. What a terrible name. I think Collective Mania came over everyone, not just like comics people, but pop culture in general.
Oh, yeah. Like the 90s, I think. It'll be a while until there's like a redeeming anything like redeeming that is dredged up from that.
That aesthetic.
For a while, it kind of seemed like the 80s would just be, oh, it's this decadent, you know, horrible, tacky, cheesy place. And it's like, no, like Miami Vice is kind of cool. And there's tons of great, like, you know, new wave music that came out of this. Like there was plenty of stuff salvageable. Like I think we've talked about the 90s a lot and I talked about Friends. We're repeating ourselves. So I'm sorry.
Yeah, that's fine. It's fine.
Yeah,
it's fine.
No, but this this whole comic aesthetic, like, you know, I have no inclination for it. Like, it was way too like grown up and edgy for me then, and I think it's way too grown up and edgy for me now.
Yeah. immature and edgy.
I guess that's what I mean. Like my conception of like what that actually means is like it stayed the same, but the context around it has evolved to the point where it is equally as unappealing to me now as it was when I was probably of Spawn age, you know?
Yeah. Spawn age.
Spawn age.
Yeah. I remember when you were the same age as Spawn.
Yeah.
And every kid goes through a Spawn phase.
Yeah.
From which like chains burst from their rib cage and their cod chop.
They have to be locked into the attic. Until they
attic spawn. Yeah. Hang out there with my attic stooge.
Ooh. Yeah. Let's see here. Important epithets. The one, so you shouldn't call him the one, I guess. And also you shouldn't call him Hellspawn.
Yeah, because that's how he got his name, but he doesn't like it.
No.
You know, in the last collected edition of Spawn. That was collected then. Okay. I was like, they're still making Spawn comics in 2014.
Oh my God.
But it was collected then.
Okay.
Whew. Whoa.
So we actually haven't talked about the way this game fits together because it is a little bit Tomb Raider-y insofar as you are walking around an environment and it is third person, right?
Mm-hmm.
You can do some like minor jumping, but there's no real acrobaticism to any of it.
There's no real platforms.
No. Like, here's a small ledge that you have to get up on. And there's no real combat to be had in, like, exploration mode. You have a punch and you have a kick, but that is for, like, busting open windows or for breaking open boxes to get your necrosphere orbs. But then combat just happens whenever you get within, let's say, 5 kilometers of a... of an enemy, and then it goes into a fighting game kind of mode,
and the fighting is very shallow and bad.
Couldn't figure out how to trigger any kind of special attack.
I won several combats, but I just got worn down.
Yeah,
you know, because and it's all just like you're just fighting like guy, it's either guys in suits or black dude,
right?
And that's it.
Yeah.
Over and over and over, I saw something that like clearly looked like a boss like arena. And I was like, better watch out for that. I'm going to fight Malbolgia. You know, I can't wait to fight, you know, Violator. I can't wait to fight Overt Kill. Why would you ever call a character Overt Kill?
You're pretty hung up on that, aren't you?
It seems like a really bad name. It's very awkward.
It's a pretty bad name.
Yeah. Especially, I mean, I get that it's not Overkill. I guess maybe it's a copyright thing. Like Overkill was already a guy.
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah. You know? I don't know.
What about this character, which is percentage sign raised to the power of 9? Percentage sign raised to the power of 9 is introduced in Spawn issue 19. The red-skinned creature inhabits the overlap and is in charge of studying the atomics used by Earthians.
Earthians? There's such a word for that. Oh my God.
Yeah. it's really shallow. The winning strategy that I found was to just duck and then punch whenever they were in reach.
Yeah. Yeah. And that got you through most of the fights, but you'd slowly get whittled down until eventually you get murdered. That's really, I didn't get any further than that now or the first time I played it.
No.
And I also, we talked last episode how I don't, you know, we don't want people to go on and like look at game facts first. I didn't do that either. So there's not tons of game fact stuff, but I did not know.
Right. Right.
There's one like 4,000 word review by Casket Darkfire.
Oh God. Is that the one that is like the marketing phenomenon from a genius or some say a madman?
Yes. which is very bad. Pretty obnoxious, but again, like, you know, the stakes are raised for game facts gold.
Oh yes.
You know,
yeah.
Did you get a close up on any of these textures in this game?
I was playing this on my laptop in bed. So I was pretty, like right on top of it. It is reviled for its visuals, but it just, to me, looked very early PS1, like, but not to an offensive degree. Like, it didn't look unusual in that regard.
It's pretty bad. Like, everything is like a pretty, cause it's not that early PS1. Like when it came out, like it was fairly late.
It was like 97 or something. Yeah, it was like mid period. So about a year after Tomb Raider, but like by the time, so Tomb Raider like was a pretty game at the time, and like it animated much better than this one did. More interesting things were happening, but like, you know, Tomb Raider 2 is happening, and like it's not like they had a dearth of resources behind this. Like, this was developed by Sony.
Yeah.
You know. Yeah.
That's something else. Once you get close to, and part of it's the camera, but you do get very, very close to a bunch of textures that just look like a series of brown, black, and gray cubes on your screen.
Yeah.
Like a really, really bad tiled bathroom floor.
Yeah. It's
after Violator has his way with it, or I mean, Malbolgia takes a big shit in it.
Yeah.
Skid marks.
Yeah. No. And so, and like, there's no story that I can tell. I would have expected, you know, in a game that had this lavish of a like a pre-title screen cinematic, that there would be some kind of setup. For as much as Mr. McFarlane himself loves his crazy, you know, overly ornate lore and stuff, I would have expected at least a crawl at the start. But no, just here's Spawn in his space between worlds walking out, and then all of a sudden you're in a subway. And you're just like beating up some dudes. Like, it's a real failure to provide even any context within the game. It's not like it needs to be the prophecy foretold. But no, there's just nothing.
And it's based on a comic too. So like that information is there.
Right.
You know, like they could have, you know, taken just the opening of the, you know, Spawn number one, presumably. But who, I don't know, because I haven't read Spawn number one. And I never will.
Somebody's going to try and trick you into reading Spawn.
Like how they tricked you into reading Star Wars and
universe stuff. God damn
like
it.
That.
Yeah. I'll quit this show.
You gotta get up pretty early in the morning to get me to read Spawn.
Oh man. I'm just okay. So this is no, I'm not going to do that. I was about to ask people to send you panels from Spawn on Twitter.
Yeah. Please don't ask anyone.
Please don't do that. No.
Yeah. I mean, if you do, I mean, it's fine. Like, I can ignore things, but
don't do it because I said so.
Yeah, do it because you were already going to.
Right,
and it's really weird. You didn't know this episode was going to come out. You had a premonition.
You had a folder.
Yeah, bolt upright in bed, and we're just like, oh my god. does Gary know about? I'm trying to find a bad character. Who does Gary know about? Billy Kincaid.
You mean one of the KKK members?
Billy Kincaid.
Yep.
Is he a KKK guy?
I don't know.
He's in Spawn.
Huh.
In Spawn number 5, Kincaid is released from a mental institution where he had been placed because he was suspected of murdering several children. The most notable of cases, and the only one he was actually charged with, was the disappearance and murder of a senator's daughter. Literally, he's just like a bad guy, but he's in hell. Yeah. Spawn.
Yeah.
And he stays until issue 150.
Ooh, fun. No, there's a whole subheader on the characters page on the Wikia that is just Klansmen, KKK. There is a character named Sigor.
Oh my god.
Yeah. Sigor was created by neurologist Frederick Wilhelm during experiments in the U.S. Army meant to create an ape superhuman soldier.
Into it.
Because of course. No, I'm picturing this like dead zone kind of situation where somebody like walked up to you and said hi a PRG and shook your hand. Yeah. Had a premonition.
And then Or they came up to me and shook my hand, and then when I looked down at my hand, there's a Spawn comic in it.
Oh, God.
And I didn't even notice it until, like, afterwards.
It's like a Spawn Tijuana Bible.
Yeah.
Tia Spawn a Bible.
There's an Iced Earth album by these guys. Do you know who Iced Earth are?
No.
It is a metal band. Are these the same guys? They're not the same guys, but it came out around the same time. So they did an album, a concept album about Spawn, called The Dark Saga. And I remember seeing it in comic stores at the same time I saw Wolverine Blues.
Wait a minute.
You know what Wolverine Blues?
No. What the fuck are you talking about?
Wolverine Blues is the third album by Swedish metal band Entombed. And they did this concept album about Wolverine. That has songs like Eye Master. I don't know who that's referring to, but they did this
Cyclops. Cyclops.
Yeah. Oh, you're right. He would be Rotten Soil. That's probably yeah. Demon, Contempt, Hollow Man, Heaven's Die, Out of Hand. But yeah, they did this Wolverine concept album that, like, there was a free tape that was in all the comic book stores.
Oh yeah.
And then there was also this the Spawn concept album.
Yeah. Huh. Well, so this wasn't like affiliated. They didn't use this specifically for the soundtrack for the movie.
No. It's way too intense.
Yeah. it was too raw for American theaters. Yeah. You have to get it. It's an alternate.
This is too twisted.
It's an alternate version on the Spawn Blu-ray.
Speaking
of alternate versions, if you were a real Spawnophile, you could take this disc, Spawn the Eternal for PS1, you put it into a CD player. Guess what you get, Gary?
Interview with Todd McFarlane.
A lengthy interview with Todd McFarlane.
Yeah. Thank God. You've seen that thing with Todd McFarlane, Rob Liefeld, and Stan Lee. Have I shown you that?
No. Or is that the like the weird sexy fairy tale comic? Or
oh, no. Like, even though I am kind of curious as to what those like all those terms together, if you put them in like the cooking pot from Breath of the Wild, see what kind of like inedible thing you'd get.
Just putting together a spell in Morrowind.
Yeah. this costs far too much to cast, Doomer. It's a thing where they did like as a TV promo, they had Rob Liefeld and Todd McFarlane create a character and like in 20 minutes. They're like, we're gonna ground up draw him and everything. And Stan Lee's kind of hanging out there, kind of just doing color commentary and dunking on Rob Liefeld.
Oh, good.
And Todd McFarlane the whole time. It's great.
Yeah.
Like, Stan Lee has tons of problems, but he's just kind of like, how does he get dressed in the morning? Like, just like asking the questions. You know? Like, what if he's an accountant when he goes, like, just kind of trolling them? And it's so good.
Excelsior, I see he has 5 belts, but no feet.
Yeah, that's literally, why does he have all those belts? Like, he actually says that, and he's just like, well, it's the style, like, kids love this, and it's like, what if this guy was, you know, the way we would do it, we'd come up with the character first, and like, he's just cruel.
Yeah.
Like, you almost feel bad, because he's just dunking on him left and right. It's real good.
Yeah, well, I mean, you know, if anybody deserves it.
Totally.
I don't much care for either of those men's aesthetics.
No, they're very bad aesthetics. I guess, like, somebody in the Slack was talking, saying Rob Liefeld's a good guy.
Okay.
And Todd McFarlane isn't. But, like, I mean, yeah, I don't know. Like, I didn't necessarily assume he was a bad human.
No. I just don't respect his work.
Yeah, and I'm still not going to respect his work. Like, it doesn't... I've never been talking about the dude. I've just been talking about his tastes.
Yeah.
You know?
Speaking of Rob Liefeld, something I watched when I was home here recently, because my stepdad was like, you haven't seen Deadpool? Okay. I watched Deadpool. That's okay.
Yeah. It's right?
Yeah,
isn't that kind of amazing?
Yeah,
I was like, oh, this is gonna suck. I went and saw it with the same girlfriend in the premium episode I talked about playing along with the Queen with.
Uh-huh.
And we went and saw it, and it's like surprisingly pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
no, it was like it was meta in ways that I thought was pretty good. Like, oh, the studio couldn't afford more X-Men.
Yeah,
like that was a fun joke.
Yeah. You know, it's and the jokes happen fast enough to where like
if one didn't land, you'd just wait long enough, and here's a new one.
Wait a second, there's a new one. The actual like origin of him, that weird like suffocation tank thing, is horrifying. I was surprised by how much I liked it. I wasn't like, oh my god, this is the best movie ever.
No.
But I thought it was fun.
Yeah, it was it was unexpected.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Colossus is fun, and I had no expectations because I do not like Deadpool.
as a character. Yeah, like Deadpool is something that has been hard sold to me a lot. Mm. But Ryan Reynolds was charming enough to carry it. And guess what? TJ Miller's great.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. And to me, Deadpool will always be Deadpool from the Wolverine. So the weird with his mouth sewn shut that shoots Cyclops beams whenever they're fighting on that gigantic fan or whatever, like that nuclear power fan.
Yeah, garbage.
Yeah, that's always going to be my Deadpool.
Yeah. So. But this game is really bad. I don't know why you did. I mean, I know why you did this to me, but
I honestly thought that I couldn't remember it being bad in a boring way. I just remember being like, oh, I hated that.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's all I did.
Well, no, but this is like the anatomy of a good pick. You know, you knew we would have fallback.
Spawn.
Yeah.
There'd be Spawn to talk about.
We always have Spawn.
Spawn, like when there's only one set of chains dragging in the sand. You know?
May the spawn rise to meet you.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. It's always darkest before the spawn. Yeah.
Yeah.
So I suggested this. Thank you, me.
And also we had those four people. Thank you to Chuckle Master. Bazanson. Okay,
pretty sure that's Mount Bolger. Like I don't not comfortable with the Chuckle Master being suggesting things. Like
we also had Bazanson, Olson, and Sam. So thank you.
Yeah. Thanks, guys. You guys have good taste in bad games. If you want to suggest things, you can go to the About page on the Adverse Suffering website. Mm-hmm. The best thing you can do, though, is you can actually dictate a thing and say, like, hey, you guys are playing this, fuckos.
Yeah.
You can even say, like, hey, fuckos, I'm going to be on this episode and talk about this with you guys.
Yeah, because this episode is coming out, I think, a little bit after our Patreon restructure, but we've added some new tiers, one of which is the ability to pick a game and guest on that episode. We're not going to make you pick a game and then have somebody else guest on that episode. That would be weird.
That'd be very strange.
I don't know if that you were just like, that
I pick this person. Yeah. Like I pick like, or just like a weird thing to do. Like, like we show up at their house or something like that, the prize patrol and just,
we just black bag them.
Yeah. And then just pop a, you know, cartridge into an SNES and be like, you just got spawned. No, it's for you.
Yeah. Whoever. It's for you.
Yeah, it's for you.
Yeah. And that is at patreon.com/duckvtv, where you can also get two extra bonus episodes of this show a month.
Yes. And we want to kill those goals. We have those goals coming up. The first one, the next one is the first edition of our Duck Ventures series. And I really want that to happen. That is a celebratory thing. It's not an ongoing commitment at this point. It would just be a very fun thing we're going to do for everybody, which is a tabletop session that we will record. And the specifics of it aren't in yet. One of the things I want to do for one of those is adapt the Ravenloft Mask of the Red Death module.
Oh, nice.
Into a more playable system.
Yeah, yeah.
But yeah, I think that's really cool. Like I love Mask of the Red Death.
Yeah, that's great.
I think that it was a good find.
Yeah.
So, yeah. So please go there and support us. Ratings, reviews, that's also very useful. Mm-hmm.
Come back next week. Tell your friends
and come back next week. Yeah.
Cool.
Absolutely. Thank you very much. So until next time, boy.
Who is
Spawn Dog is not very good, even though it does sound like a thing.
Something like a Spondo. I don't know. What?
Doesn't, because Superman has a dog, because there's Crypto the Super Dog and Streaky the Super Cat. Yeah, like really like the idea of Spawn having a Spawn Dog and just this like sick, like melting chain covered monster that just kind
of, like, he's got more bone exposed than usual.
Yeah, just like horfs up a bunch of acid on his enemies.
Yeah.
Who lets the dog out? Yeah. It's me, Spawn. Nice. And then like the dog jumps on your chest and barfs a bunch of bone acid onto you.
Let's just go with who is Hellhound.
Who is Hellhound? There we go. That's actually better.